الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only true God who deserves to be worshipped alone, and that Muhammad is the true slave and messenger of Allah. May Allah salah and salam be upon the Prophet Muhammad, his noble family, and the noble companions, and those who follow in pursuit until the day of resurrection. Inshallah, this will be the beginning of the classes concerning the fasting of the month of Ramadan. And let's start by first of all defining my resources for this an important matter of our belief and our worship. These are from the classes of our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and as well as from his publications and from the notes we had in these classes, and there will be also other sources inshallah pointed to accordingly. First of all, what is the definition of fasting? Fasting in Arabic is known as as-siyam. As-siyam, as-siyam lughatan meaning al-imsaku an ash-shay'. It means restraining, linguistically the meaning means restraining or abstaining from something. Restraining or abstaining from something, like speaking, eating, etc. And siyam is from the root sama yasumu. It is an infinitive from the root, from the Arabic term sama, fasted, yasumu, fasting. And the linguistically is an evidence for that in the Quran in Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 26. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِمَّا تَرَيَنِّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا. صَوْمًا, here's the term صَوْمًا, فَإِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا. So eat and drink, eat and drink, and be glad. And if you see any human being, say, verily, I have vowed a fast unto the Most Beneficent, so I shall not speak to any human being this day. The term that was used here is sawma. I vowed sawma, meaning a fast, and meaning to restrain and abstain from something, in this case not to speak to any human being this day. This is from the linguistic aspect. As far as the Islamic definition or the legal aspect is التعبد لله سبحانه وتعالى بالإمساك عن الأكل والشرب وسائر المفطرات من طلوع الفجر إلى غروب الشمس. This is the definition, which means worshipping Allah by abstaining from food, drink, and the rest of the things that invalidate the fasting, like sexual intercourse, etc., from dawn to sunset. From dawn to sunset. This is the legal meaning of as-siyam, of fasting. And you see, the Shaykh rahimahullah used always to stress in the definition as this is being worship, because you find so many definitions, all of which you start by saying siyam means abstaining from food, drink, and etc. They don't start by the word worship. And this is a very important element in the definition, because this is an act of worship, and that's why you abstain from these matters, because you are worshipping Allah through this abstention or through the restraining. So that's why the definition, he starts it by worshipping Allah by abstaining from food, drink, and the rest of the things that invalidate the fasting, and from dawn to sunset. This is the Islamic or legal meaning of fasting. What is its ruling? What is the ruling of fasting? حكمه, the ruling. Fasting is mandatory, and the evidence is from the textual evidence as well as by the unanimous agreement of the Ummah of Muslims. Ijma', general consensus. So it is mandatory based upon textual proofs as well as the general consensus of the Muslim Ummah. This is the ruling. متى فرض, when was it obligated? All the believing ones, yes, because they are commanded, and all the commands that apply on the believers apply on the believers of them, unless there is an exception. This is the general ruling. When it was ordained, it was ordained in the second year of Hijrah after the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After, in the second year of Hijrah, meaning the second year after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the month of Ramadan. And in the month of Ramadan. So the believers of them don't, and they have their own food. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted nine months of Ramadan, nine Ramadans. All of these matters are in agreement, alhamdulillah. What is the textual proof for Ramadan, the fasting of the month of Ramadan being mandatory? Is in the saying of Allah, this lies in the saying of Allah in chapter 2 verse 185, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. The month of Ramadan in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind, and clear proofs for the guidance and the criterion between right and wrong. So whoever of you cites the crescent on the first night of the month of Ramadan, that is, present at his home, he must observe Sawm. Who knows if they need food? The Prophet, your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, described their food and the type of food that they eat. This came in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He must observe fasting that month, and whoever is ill or in a journey, the rest of that. Naam. Example, all the, this is the textual proof for the textual proof for the ordinance of fasting in the month of Ramadan. Tayyib, you are welcome. And we know that it is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is one of the five pillars of Islam. It is one of the five pillars of Islam. What is the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified this month of Ramadan for fasting? The wisdom behind that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had specified the month of Ramadan for fasting. Why? Because in it Allah has revealed the Quran. In it Allah has revealed the Quran. Send down the Quran. And this is greater than sending the rain, because the Ummah would not be established without this Quran. And this is why it was specified in this sense in Ramadan, because this is the month of the Quran. and what is the wisdom of having fasting being something obligatory or mandatory? What is the wisdom behind that? The wisdom is الابتلاء بصدق القصد والامتثال. Testing the truth of intentions and compliance. This is the wisdom. This is the wisdom behind having the month of Ramadan, the fasting, as an ibtila, as a testing for the truth of intention and compliance. So would a person comply and then be in agreement with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with or not? And in fact, if we really contemplate about the five prescribed acts of worship, we will find the following: that some of them are purely physical, some of them are purely financial, and some of them come in combination. And all of this is that the miser will be distinguished from the one who is generous. There are people, you find them that it is easier for them to pray 1,000 rak'ah and not give a penny or a shilling or you name it. And on the other hand, you would find people who would donate 1,000, say, dollars or such, and not pray one single rak'ah. So the Sharia, the Islamic laws, brought forth variation in the worship, so that those who will worship Allah and be in compliance with His way will be distinguished from those who follow their desires. So Salah, the prayers, is purely physical, sayings and actions, and there is no, you know, wealth being invested. Zakah, giving the charity, is purely financial. And money is beloved to man, and it's from the nature of man to love it and to covet it. قال الله تعالى إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد. It is in Surah Al-Adiyat, verse 6. إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد. Verily man, the disbeliever, is ungrateful to his Lord. وإنه على ذلك لشهيد. And to that fact he bears witness by his deeds. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. And verily he is violent in the love of wealth. And therefore, if someone wants to give away something which he covets and he loves, then that will only occur with the true intention and true faith. Because that thing which one is trying to give away, which is beloved to him, would be given only to attain something which is even more beloved, and that is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since zakah and in giving charity is giving away something beloved so dearly and violently even, Allah had lightened the charity and made it conditional. Some of the conditions, first of all, that it is لا يجب في الحول إلا مرة, that it will be given one time in the whole year, once a year only. and this is ease made on us. Second, it only will be applicable to certain special wealth, and not every wealth zakah applies on it. Also, that amount where zakah is applicable upon, there is only a defined measure as to how much will be given, either 1/10 or half the 10th or 1/4 of the 10th. Now with siyam, with fasting, there is the testing. There is the abstention from something beloved to the nature, to the person. And this is something which really people love, as we know, the desire to eat, the desire to drink, and the desire to have marriage, and therefore have the lawful sexual relationship. And these things, yani, mostly occur, you know, the need for eat, the need to drink, and so forth, that mostly occurs during our working hours. And that's why fasting was not prescribed for people at night, meaning to fast at night, because the testing during the day will bring forth those who are really truthful, who would abandon their lusts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you would find the person, if he would be beaten to eat one single date or drink a glass of water, he wouldn't. And that's why the ulama, the learned scholar of Islam, may Allah mercy be upon them, said, "As-sawmu sirrun bayna al-abdi wa bayna rabbih." Fasting is a secret matter between the slave and his Lord, Allah. And that's why Allah had distinguished the fasting from the rest of the deeds when he said, sallallahu, when he said subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qudsi hadith, "Kullu amal ibn Adam lahu al-hasanatu bi'ashri amthaliha." Allah said, all the deeds of Adam's children belong to them except fasting, which belongs to me, and I will reward it, meaning fasting. إلا الصيام فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به ترك شهوته وطعامه وشرابه من أجلي ترك شهوته وطعامه وشرابه من أجلي. He had abandoned, you know, his desire for food and drink for myself, for me. للصائم فرحتان. The fasting person will enjoy two moments of joy. فرحة عند فطره, a moment of joy at the time when he breaks his fast. وفرحة عند لقاء ربه, and a joy when he will meet his Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولخلوف فم الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك, and the odor of the mouth of the fasting person is more good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and better than the odor of musk. And that's why, okay, and that's why Allah, yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "He who does not give up forged speech and evil actions, Allah needs not his refraining from acting, from from eating and drinking." So from the wisdom of having the fasting is achieving piety and righteousness. Allah also said, all the deeds of Adam's children belong to them except fasting, which belongs to me, and I will reward it. Fasting is a shield against hell and sins. If one of you happen to be fasting, he should avoid sexual relations with his wife and should avoid quarreling. Should someone fight or quarrel with him, let him say, "Inni sa'im," I am fasting. By him in whose hand my soul is, the smell of the mouth of a fasting person is better in the sight of Allah than that of the musk. and this is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And we see that in Hajj, we see that it is a physical matter. Worship is purely physical. And in case of jihad, it combines both, you know, wealth and physical. So a person may independently perform jihad through wealth, and also maybe independently perform jihad physically. So from what has preceded, then if you contemplate concerning the Islamic Sharia, then you will find it in utmost wisdom and all in agreement with the benefits that are intended for the creation. Shahru Ramadan is the month of the Quran, where the Quran was revealed in that month. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as narrated in the hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them, used to be ajwadu an-nasi bil khair. He was the most generous of mankind in doing good. Wa ajwadu ma yakunu fi shahri Ramadan. And you know, this state of generosity, his highest state of generosity would be in the month of Ramadan. Why? لأن جبريل كان يلقاه في كل ليلة في شهر رمضان. Because Jibril used to meet with him every night during the month of Ramadan, حتى ينسلخ, until he leaves. يعرض عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القرآن. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم studies the Quran with him. فإذا لقيه جبريل ونظر جبريل متهم كان أجود بالخير من الريح المرسلة. He would be more generous than in good than the wind. And in the narration by Abi Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه, كان يعرض على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم القرآن كل عام مرة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to you know, be exposed to the Quran through the revelation from Jibreel عليه السلام, meaning once every year. فعرض عليه مرتين في العام الذي قبض فيه. But in the year where he was, يعني, he died, in that year it was, and he studied it two times with Jibreel alayhi as-salam. So we know from here that Ramadan, yani, is the month of the Quran. Ramadan is the month of the Quran. And there is a very good reason why Ramadan, out of all the months, is the Islamic calendar, as we know, and that was chosen by Allah to be the month of fasting. And that reason, it was in this month and on the night of decree that the Quran was revealed to mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in this respect in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 185, the meaning of which the month of Ramadan, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه. The month of Ramadan in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs for the guidance and the criteria between right and wrong. So whoever of you sight the crescent on the first night of the month of Ramadan, he must fast that month. So Allah honored this month by revealing the Quran in it, and it is because of this that he obligated fasting in it. And this is also the month when Jibreel alayhi salam would come to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every night in order to repeat the recitation of the Quran with him. And thus, therefore, the relation between Ramadan and the Quran is a very close one, which is why Muslims worldwide turn to the Quran with a heightened sense of vigor during this month. And we know from this verse, which was recited, the meaning of it, which was recited to you, or was related to you, that the main purpose of the Quran is to be a source of guidance for mankind, leading those who cling to it from darkness into light, and from misery to happiness, and raising them from loneliness to a lofty station. Also, there is something which we should not forget, that the recitation of the Quran itself is a form of ibadah, is a form of worship. In fact, the Quran is defined as being the uncreated word of Allah sent down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the recitation of which is a form of worship, a unique definition that can be applied to no other book or writing or a statement. In fact, the very name, which is the Quran, means reading or reciting or recitation. And the first ayat to be revealed on that momentous occasion where Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam whilst he was alone in the cave saying, Iqra, recite or read in the name of your Lord who created you. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever reads a single letter from Allah's book will receive a blessing for each letter, and each blessing is worth 10 times its value. And this is a sahih hadith reported by Ibn Mas'ud and collected by At-Tirmidhi, and the hadith is authenticated by Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah. Some of the virtues of the Quran, it will come as an intercessor on the day of resurrection. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recite the Quran, for verily the day of resurrection it will act as on the day of resurrection it will act as an intercessor for those who recite it, for those who recite it. And this hadith is reported or collected in Sahih Muslim. On that day, the day of resurrection, when neither our family nor our wealth will be of any benefit to us, the Quran will beseech Allah on behalf of those who recite the Quran frequently. It will be given speech by Allah, for Allah is able to do all things. And it will say to Allah, the Quran, I prevented him from sleep at night, so accept my intercession for him. And its intercession will be accepted. And this is a good hadith, which is really part of a longer hadith, and collected by Imam Ahmad and others. And it is authentic, alhamdulillah. And in the month, and in the Quran, or by the virtues of the Quran, is that tranquility descends. In fact, Al-Bara reported that a man was reciting Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, which we discussed some of its verses tonight, and there was a horse tied with two ropes at its side when a cloud overshadowed him. As it began to come nearer and nearer, his horse began to take fright from it. He went and mentioned that to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the morning, who said, quote, it was tranquility, as-sakina, tranquility, which came down at the recitation of the Quran. Which came down at the recitation of the Quran. This is reported in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So this is evident that the tranquility and calmness which results from the recitation of the Quran, yani is real. It's not something abstract. And this sakina, this tranquility which descends upon the reciter, is accompanied by angels who assemble to listen to the Quran. The companion Usayd ibn Hudayr mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that once when he was reciting the Quran, he saw something like a canopy or a cloud with what seemed to be lamps contained inside. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained to him that, quote, those were angels who came near to you for your voice, and if you had kept on reciting till dawn, it would have remained there till morning, when the people would have seen it, as it would not have disappeared. Allahu Akbar. This is reported, it's collected in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. The Quran will be a shade on the day of resurrection. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite the two bright ones, the two bright one chapters, meaning Al-Baqarah chapter 2 and Surah Al-Imran, which is chapter 3. For on the day of resurrection they will come as two clouds or two shades or two flocks of birds in ranks, pleading for those who recite them, pleading for those who recite them. It is in Sahih Muslim. Now, imagine being outside in a hot day, and each one of us would like to shade under a tree or a canopy and so forth. Imagine how much more we will be pinning for a shade on the day of resurrection, when the Prophet ﷺ said, the people will be submerged in perspiration according to their deeds, some up to half of their knees, some up to the waist, and some would have a bridle of perspiration up to their mouths. We seek refuge in Allah from the terrors of this day. There, those who recited the Quran will have special blessings upon them. These blessings and rewards are only multiplied for those who struggle in their recitation, especially those who struggle in their recitation. It's difficult for them. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, one who is skilled in the Quran is associated with the noble, upright, recording angels, and he who falters when he recites the Quran and finds it difficult, he will have a double reward. Alhamdulillah, he will have a double reward. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Reciting the Quran in itself is good and rewarding, but also there is an objective behind the recitation. It's just a means through which we can absorb its message and act on whatever that message entails. So reciting with meaning of the Quran is superior to mere reading, as the Prophet ﷺ explained when he said, the example of a believer who recites the Quran and acts on it is like an orange which tastes nice and smells nice. And the example of the believer who does not recite the Quran but acts on it is like a date that tastes sweet but has no smell. And the example of the hypocrite who recites the Quran is like a sweet basil which smells good but tastes bitter. And the example of a hypocrite who does not recite the Quran is like a colocynth which tastes bitter and has a bad smell. It is the companion for our life. In the month of Ramadan, a Muslim should habituate himself or himself into spending a daily period with the Quran, reciting, memorizing, acting upon it, because we should know that no people are better and more worthy of our envy than the companions of the Quran, which is why the most striking and outstanding character of every pious person of knowledge is their love and attachment towards the Quran. And there is no man or woman who is considered to be righteous except he or she is known to possess this noble quality. So when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Prophet's wife, was asked to describe the best of all mankind, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she could find no more suitable description other than to say, كان خلقه القرآن, his character was the Quran. And this is reported in Sahih Muslim. And among the inheritors of the prophets, meaning the scholars, we have the example of Imam Malik rahimahullah, whose sister was asked, what did Malik occupy himself with in his house? She replied, the Mus'haf, the Quran reciting. Imam Malik belonged to the third generation of Muslims and was undoubtedly one of the great imams of the scholars. He lived in Medina. He began teaching at an early age in Medina. He was well known for his manners, for his precision and fear speaking without knowledge. And his famous work is Al-Muwatta, which was the first hadith compilation of its kind. Imam Ahmad said of him, quote, he is an imam in hadith and in fiqh, in jurisprudence, in hadith and in jurisprudence, and he died in the year 179 of Hijrah at the age of 86, rahimahullah. No person can afford to remain ignorant or neglectful of the Quran. Reading it regularly, sincerely, to derive guidance from it, and adopt the company of those who make mention of it in their gatherings, make the Quran our constant companion, not just for Ramadan, but for life. This, inshallah, concludes this first part on the matter of fasting, and inshallah we continue the rest later, inshallah ta'ala.